Where are we at?
I haven't told you yet. But I'm going to. All right, cool. So, I'm going to stand, if that's okay.
Bigger group section. Maybe I'll sit.
That's weird. I'm going to like to stand.
I'm
going to sit today. All right, cool. So, I want to keep it really simple today. So, I just simple and easily understood, and I hope you all come away encouraged. Where I want to start and probably end is in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And, you know, everyone in these two rooms has confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, and you're all born again. I know, because I've heard you all speak in tongues, and I've seen the Spirit of God working in you, and, you know, we know we're born again in this room. And so, you know, we live in this world, and there's stuff that comes up. There's, you know, there's pressures at work, there's pressures at home, there's, you know, there's pleasures, there's all sorts of things set up in this world right now that are there to draw us away from the truth of God's word and what he's done through his son, Jesus Christ. You know, so this is just, I just want to come away today encouraged, refocused, eyes back on him and on what God's done. So we're going to start here in chapter 3, verse 1. It says here, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above." Set your mind. The word affection is mind. "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." I just love how God doesn't just give us like a list of things to do without telling us the whys behind it and what he's done. You know, he often, this is a pretty common pattern where he'll say, "You do this because I've done this," or "I've done this, therefore you can do this." You see? And so we have here just very simple instruction. If you're then risen with Christ, we've already established we are, right? We're all born again here. Old man's dead. New man lives in Christ. It's new creation. You know, we are new creations in Christ. When God created whales for the first time, there hadn't been whales before he created them. He created them, now there's whales. Right? And when you and I got born again, we became a new creation in Christ. It's something completely new. It's a new species of being. It's something that wasn't there before. And so we're new. We've been risen with Christ. And if you are, which you know you are, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. We're to set our mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. It's so simple to say that. It's so simple to read that. But then life happens. Sometimes it's not simple to do that. But this is very simple. And so for, you know, for my life, I know a lot of times, those kind of things where the cares of the world and other things, they creep in, and I don't really realize it because this is what I want to do. I want to seek God, right? And then I find my mind is, oh my gosh, I'm waking up thinking about many other things other than my God and what he's done for me. Or go to sleep at night thinking about many other things other than what my God has done, right? Mm-hmm. But it says here, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. That's where our new life is. And when Christ, our life, will appear, we'll also appear with him in glory. That's incredible. Just an incredible truth. This is essentially the renewed mind, to think that way, is essentially what it is to have a mind that's renewed. Yeah. I want to go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Something that Pammy and I were talking about this morning and really blessed me. But in the old in the law, in the Old Testament, right? And this is a very simple simple parallel and analogy, but the Old Testament and the law is a shadow of the things that were to come, right? And many of the sacrifices and other things, all of the sacrifices that God had set up, look to and speak of things that are better to come, which is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that sacrifice that God would one day make in his Son. And I was reading a little in Leviticus today, and it's neat because when there's a sin sacrifice that needs to be made, a sin offering, the sinner, the one who sinned, brings the offering to the priest. And nowhere in that verbiage does it say that the priest looks at the sinner and critiques the sinner and makes sure the sinner figured everything out and is now pure. He's to look at the sacrifice that the sinner brought. And that sacrifice was to be without blemish and without spot. And it was up to the priest to determine if that sacrifice met the qualifications. You know? And so, with that in mind, read this. Chapter 10, verse 1. It says here, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect." You know, those folks that would show up with the sacrifice, and even, you know, the Passover lamb, which was done every year. You know, it would never make the people who are coming to get redeemed from sin, it would never make them perfect continually. It wasn't a one and done situation. Verse 2, "For then would they not have ceased to be offered?" Hey, that's a rhetorical question, right? If it worked once and forever, then they would have stopped coming to offer the sacrifice. "Because that the worshippers once purged," I should just read it. the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. NIV says they would no longer be guilty or feel guilty for their sin. Right? So they're bringing that sacrifice to the high priest. That sacrifice is without blemish, without spot. And that sacrifice would pay for that sin. And in that moment, they could be free in their conscience from that sin. And they could see themselves as free from that sin, right? But then they walk away, and when they sin again, when they fall short again, the conscience is back on again. The guilt is there again until the sacrifice is again brought before the priest, okay? "But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year." Verse 3, "For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. For that reason, when he came into the world, he said," and this is a quote from, I believe, Psalms, "Sacrifice and offering you would not, but a body have you prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me," and this is referring to the Christ, "to do your will, O God." And it's explaining it here now in verse 8. "Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offering for sin, you would not, neither had pleasure in it, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do your will, O God. He took away the first," that would be all those sacrifices, "that he may establish the second," that would be the will of God. See, and this was the function of our Christ. This is the function of our Lord. By the which will of God, we are set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. "And every priest standing daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From now on expecting," or having great expectation, "till his enemies be made his footstool." So, how about, you know, application for us here? You know, it's very, very simple. The sacrifice is our Lord Jesus Christ. A lamb without blemish and without spot, no? Okay. So what do you think God looks at when you fall short? Is he looking at you? Or is he looking at the lamb without blemish and without spot? He said, that's it. It's simple. It's very simple. So then I ask the question, what are you looking at when you sin? What do you look at when you fall short? Are you looking at yourself? What you are doing, what you're not doing good enough? Or do you look at the sacrifice as God does? You see? It's very simple. He's the sacrifice without blemish and without spot. He defines the reason you're set apart is because of that sacrifice that is eternally without blemish and without spot, our Lord Jesus Christ, right? And sometimes, you know, for me, I need it simple because I'm not real smart. And so sometimes I just need to stop. And our brain will go there. We'll, as much of the word as we know, sometimes we still go there in ways. Because the accuser of the brethren's out there and has set this whole world up to make us still try and think in terms of condemnation and judgment and guilt and all these things, but all those things bring death. Where we have new life in Christ. It's no longer our identity. You see, we need to just simply remember that. That our sacrifice is our Lord Jesus Christ. You know. Let's go to Romans 6. Where do you start and where do you end? Let's just read it. Let's start in verse 1. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in the sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to the sin live any longer in it? Don't you know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also of his resurrection. Just like he died and was raised, we've died. That old man has died, and we've been raised to new life in him. We're literally a new creation. I think it's just to be able to grasp that. You know, the reality spiritually is that you and everyone in this room is literally a new creation the moment you got born again. That is the reality spiritually. You know, and we have the great opportunity and privilege to have our minds also align with that truth. And when we do, there's such great benefit to that, to our life here now on this earth, right? But if my mind never gets in alignment with it, it's still true. I've still died, and I've still been raised to new life in Christ. But we get to see ourselves that way. We get to see each other that way. You know? Incredible. Knowing this, verse 6, I love this. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that from now on we should not serve sin. We should not serve the sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And I know I always say it, but I love how simple that is. He that's dead is freed from sin. And the scriptures, God's word, the word of our Creator, just said that we're dead. So are you free from your sin or no? Are you free from the sin? Really, the sin of Adam is what we're talking about here, that results in you and my sinning. Are we free from it or not?
Yes.
A dead man is. I've never seen a dead man sin. Impossible. There he is in the grave. He can't sin. He's dead. You're dead. You see? You're free from your sin, as free as a dead man is. But then you've been raised to new life. Verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. That's awesome. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, or the sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see how closely God ties us with his Son Jesus Christ? We're always tied to him. We're his body. You know, you can't separate my head from my body. I mean, you can, but then I'm gone, right? There's no more Jim. The body of Christ is intimately tied in with Jesus Christ, and who he is who we are. It's a new identity. It says in Romans that we've been conformed to the image of his Son. Isn't that cool? Do you think you can conform yourself to the image of God's Son? You think you can do that? No. All right, so stop trying, right? You can't. You can't do that. God did that. You have been conformed to the image of his Son. Think that way. See yourself that way. See one another that way. You see? And that's why in Romans 12, where it talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind, you don't have to transform yourself. You've been conformed to the image of his Son. You've been newly created. And when my mind sees that clear, and when I think that way, my physical life follows. And there's transformation, right? Because the gospel isn't just about, you know, us having a better day. It's not about God blessing us. It's about transformation. It's about going from being dead and identified with sin to being alive and identified with his Son. It's about transformation. And in that transformation is great blessing. But it's the transformation that's what the gospel is about. And so here's another. This one just similar to Colossians 3. Verse 11 says, likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And for that reason, I don't let sin reign in my mortal body, that I should obey it in the lust that it has. Right? Just doesn't make sense. But our eyes are to be on him. That's on what God has done in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is really cool. Go down to verse 16. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, or the sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Isn't that cool? I love this one because this again is not talking about your walk day in and day out. This is talking about spiritual reality. You were a slave to and a slave of the sin. You were before you got born again. Every one of us was. But we've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to us. That God sent his Son and that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised him from the dead. We believe that in our heart. Being then made free from the sin, we became servants of righteousness. I love that. You know, you're taken from the prison of sin, and you've been placed into a prison of righteousness, and you ain't getting out. even if you want to, because you're in righteousness. Pretty awesome. Oh,
praise God.
And see, and then it says and talks about in Corinthians that it's the love of Christ that constrains us. You know, then our Christian life lived is lived because of what we see. We see ourselves as new creations, and so we begin to walk that way. And you know, when I make a mistake, it doesn't take me out. I'm not there wallowing in my error with my eyes on myself, but I'm my heart is thankful that God has delivered me from that, but that's not who I am anymore. And so my eyes turn to Him again, right? And we're supposed to seek Him first. Let's go. I'm pretty much done. I know you guys don't believe me, but I'm going to go to Colossians chapter 3. We'll finish out there. Let's start, actually, Colossians chapter 1, I'm sorry. And then we'll finish in 3. I had 3 on the brain. Let's look at verse 12, chapter 1, verse 12. Oh, what the heck, let's start in verse 9. It says in verse 9, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not stop praying for you." We don't cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." He's made us meet. I love that word, meet. You know, the other place that comes to mind where God makes that word meet, He uses the word meet, is in Genesis, where there's a, you know, He creates a woman who's a help meet for Him. He's a help meet for Adam. In other words, you know, she satisfies the requirements. The animals were not a help that would be meat for Adam. Does it make sense? So He made woman, right? And together, they're better than they are separate. So here, He has made us meat to be partakers of His inheritance of the saints in light. You know, kind of cool, huh? Like, and He did that in Christ, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son. What a verse. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And over to chapter 3, verse 1, we'll read again, and then we'll close there. "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, or Christ our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory." Awesome. And just set our minds on things above. You know, Greg and I were talking earlier, and I think sometimes what happens is we realize maybe certain things that are distracting us, or certain things that are taking place in our thoughts, and then we start trying really hard not to think about those things anymore, and that's not how this works, you know, because this is by grace. The whole life we live in Christ is by grace now, right? So if there's something that's, you know, causing that kind of distraction in my life, the answer is not to try hard to get rid of it. It's to seek Him. You go to Him. That's a large part of what prayer is about. Is me going to Him to seek him, so my eyes are now on him, my expectation on him, instead of my need or my problem. Right? That's a lot of what prayer is about. Not just getting what I want, but having a heart change, where my eyes are off me and my problems, and now my eyes are on him and the answer. Because there's an answer. I want Jason and Pammy are going to sing us a little song. So.
Your life is sin. Christ in God.